Works. Welcome back to another Field and Garden podcast. It is your friend, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and I am thrilled to introduce, I don't think she needs an introduction though, that my friend and fellow flower farmer, Nicole Pitt of Flower Hill Farm from Boonesville, North New York, is here with me today. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me, Lisa. I'm so excited.
Oh, you know, I mean, it's just so much fun to talk to other flower farmers, right? I mean, it's just, there's always good things that come out of it. So I have spoken to Nicole on more than one occasion. I think we talked last year. And I think, wasn't it last year? Maybe the pandemic makes all the years run together.
I know, right? It does.
So I'm really excited. I see a lot of exciting things happening with you. And so before we jump into that, so this is going to actually be on a video. So those of you that are watching the video can see behind me this big old harvest that's sitting here. I'm sitting on the set of our live shopping show, which will happen tomorrow. So I felt like this was just a really fun thing to do, right? You know,
everything looks fantastic. And here I am sitting in front of some empty blinds.
That's all right. That's all right. I mean, I am in the South and you are a little bit. So are you what is considered upstate New York?
I am. I'm about 4 hours north of New York City. So I'm it's central New York, but it's upstate New York. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So friends, you know, if you're new here to the Field and Garden podcast, welcome aboard. We're so happy to have you here. And if you want to learn more about the work that the Gardeners Workshop is doing, you can head over to our website, thegardenersworkshop.com. And friends, you can just fall in. There's just tons of resources, our online garden shop that sells the same tools, seeds, and supplies that you hear me mention from time to time that I'm using here on my farm, as well as our online courses and just a ton of free resources, and our Field and Garden blog and podcast is over there. So there's just a ton of stuff. A lot of good stuff to do on a hot afternoon if you don't want to be outside. So I've invited Nicole here so that we can kind of check in. And but before we do some checking in, for those folks that may not know you, tell us, like, how did you get your start in this whole flower gig? How'd that happen for you?
It really was kind of a culmination of years and years and years of just loving being outside, loving nature, growing vegetables mostly, with some flowers here and there. But it was when I really bought back my childhood house that I knew that it would just, there was something about this place that it just needed to serve a larger purpose. And it got me to just brainstorming. And you know, the seasons where you're getting 4 or 5 magazines in the mail every day with the gardens, you know, and all the beautiful flowers that are options for the gardeners to grow. And one of the catalogs came in the mail and it just had this field of flowers. And little did I know that that's not what our fields look like. But at the time I said, wow, I think that that's what this property, it's just so beautiful with the rolling hills. And I said, that's what this place needs to be. And then of course I dove off the deep end into the world of flowers. And honestly, I discovered you probably a couple months into it by someone randomly mentioning you on something that I was watching on YouTube.
Really?
It was a deep dive. Yes. And that's where I found you, and then was even deeper in the hole of cut flowers. But yes, this is my fourth season. And so this is my fourth year that I bought back I bought back the house and I immediately planted things. So it was right away. But yeah, it's been quite the adventure, and things are, they've escalated quite fast. But I don't do anything slow. Pretty much anything that I do, I'm 100 miles an hour.
Let me tell you something, Nicole. That means that you will go far, because I find that there's this common denominator amongst, not even flower farmers, amongst successful entrepreneurs. And that is the hustle gene is what you got to have, right? And I see you hustling. Seth, you have like a bouquet bar on your porch. I want to hear about all that. And I mean, I know that you've got your fingers in so many things. I can remember back early on in my, when we were going to a farmer's market, I was desperate. I mean, I just didn't have that many flowers to sell. I can remember literally, I can't even believe I'm going to say this on a podcast. I literally bought flats of pansies, brought them home. I had all these little terracotta pots. I actually decorated them and put pansies in them and carried them to the farmer's market. I was so desperate to like turn some bucks, right? I mean, that's what it takes. So you've been in it for 4 years. So before we kind of go down the little trail of, you know, what you've done through those 4 years, tell us today, who is your target market? Who are you selling flowers to? What's your outlet?
Okay, so I'm a very small town. We have a population of about 2,000 people. And so it's not a large market, but we are about 20 to 30 minutes away from some larger cities. So right now I have a CSA and I've split that into my small town and then the neighboring city. So I have two separate days a week where I do a CSA. And oddly enough, they both have the same number of people. So it's my small town and the big city. I think it's growing every year. So I have that. And I also do a lot of retail, a lot of special orders. I'm not really getting into weddings or special events like that. I don't think I can take that on by myself. The level of which I'm farming and also selling and also with YouTube and also with everything else, I don't think I could take on stuff like weddings yet. Maybe if at some point I do have some employees, because right now I'm basically doing it by myself. My husband's a huge help. And so is my family. Like I have a lot of family members that step in and help out. But so my CSA, I do retail. And I do have two local florists that are interested in anything extra that they will buy anything that I have that's extra. So they've been amazing and supportive. And one is in my very small town and then the other one's about 20 minutes away. And last year I did also start for the first time doing a little bit of retail in some consignment shops in a consignment way where I had three last year. I don't know if I'm going to be in all three of those stores again this summer when the flowers start cranking out, but I will be in at least two of them where we have an agreement where I think they take 20% of sales and that's how we have that agreement. And that I usually bring 15 to 20 bouquets to them at a time. And they've been selling out. So it's been really great for them and also for me.
And, you know, consignment or anytime you sell at that type of situation, I think you have to weigh, I think 20% is a deal for you because to not have to be standing there waiting for customers to show up to let, I mean, as long as that's a good scene, I think that is really good. So kind of walk us when you first started. So you're a jumper like I am. So let's hear about your first year. How big was your planting area? Just a guesstimate, would you say you started out with?
Well, very small, maybe 25 dahlias, couple hundred glads, and then some random flowers here and there, wildflowers, cosmos, very small, nothing specific, nothing in rows that was a countable form of flowers. I was just planting seeds here and there and cutting what I could. I used a lot of flowers that were just growing, you know, all over the place. And then it wasn't until year two that I was very intentional about what I was planting and spacing things out. And that was obviously after I took your course as well, where okay, here's how this is supposed to work. So the first year I would say I probably sold 15 to 20 bouquets and that was mostly to friends and family. It wasn't until year two that I added on a CSA and started to branch out and sell to florists and stuff like that. And at that point I was growing on I would call it a fifth of an acre, but it was probably less than that. Right. It's a lot.
Would you not agree grossly underestimate how much a small space can produce? I mean, everybody, I just love it when people will meet me or they'll send me messages and say, we just inherited 10 acres and we want to like prepare it all. And I'm like, oh my gosh, do you have any idea what you're saying? I mean, you have to have a full board staff and then you would never do it. Right. But I mean, so I think that the one thing that I just want to encourage those that are listening is it's like the first 10 years that I was in business, I had 2 quarter-acre gardens. I mean, I was producing 4,000 to 6,000 stems a week in season outdoors, no houses. Right. I mean, that's a lot of flowers from a very small space. So what would you say, if this far in the game, has been your biggest business failure? The thing that you say that's like, oh gosh, I will never do that again, but boy, did I learn a good lesson.
There were a couple of things that I am repeating my mistake over and over again.
Sure.
My biggest failure is not having an employee and someone to help me out. That has cost me a lot of, I guess, dead plants, failed sales, lack of harvest, things going too far in the field because I don't have an extra hand to help me cut. So that, I think, is my number one problem, is not having the confidence to bring somebody on and have an employee, because you could do so much more with someone to help you out. And I am correcting that. I actually do have someone who just started working for me, even if it's just 5 hours a week.
That's how I started, Nicole. I mean, my first employee beyond my sister was Kelly, that I brought her on for one morning a week to do nothing but start seeds.
Yes.
And good girl. That's a great first step.
Lisa, I have fallen into flower heaven because this girl that I went to high school with, who is in my hometown, went to college in Vermont and worked at a flower farm for 4 years.
Oh,
so
it's worth the wait.
I don't even have to tell her anything. She knows everything. So it's been amazing. She's been helping me once a week, and she's actually coming here at 4:30, and we are planting the zinnias and all the gumfrina and everything down in my new, much larger annual section right now.
So the big lesson that you're going to learn by the end of this season, I understand better than anybody how scary it is to bring a first employee on. Paychecks, paperwork, taxes, insurance potentially. Yeah. There's a lot of scary, scary things. But, you know, my motto is, if you're not a little scared every day, you're not doing something right. Right.
Yeah, 100% and agree.
I just came through a really scary period, and, you know, I'm getting ready to start another one, but that's the way it's supposed to be. So I think knowing that it's okay to be scared helps you think, okay, I can do this. But I'm so proud of you. You will not believe employees and that bed maker helped me quadruple my business. You know,
it's been the best. It's honestly, what I do is impossible without that bed maker. I just did a video actually maybe 6 weeks ago, and I called it the best investment I've made on my farm. Yeah. Was the bed maker, for real.
Yeah. You know that my girls, so we were hand making, we would have 4,400 foot beds on my two little quarter acre gardens, right? We would make those by hand with a walk behind tiller. When we got this other acre and a half, like almost 10 years ago now, they came to me and said, there's no way we can do this. The morale killer. I mean, how many nights do you lay awake in bed and think, I can start all the seeds I want, but where are we going to plant them? Because we just can't get the beds made, right? So I think that was just such a very smart investment. And I saw your video from just a couple of days ago showing the beds that you and Brad made. And I mean, I just literally... we could be cheerleaders for bed makers. That's one of those scary, just like an employee purchase, that will pay you back really, really quickly.
Yes.
So tell me, so what does the future hold for Flower Hill Farm? I mean, where do you think you're going?
That is such a scary question, which is a good thing, because you and I agree, if it doesn't scare you, it's not worth doing. But I honestly would love to just make, I would say, five times the number of my CSA. I would be super happy with. I'd like to eventually have a retail space where I can have people go, because right now it's getting a little bit of a concern. And I don't know if people think about this, but people just come and pull in my driveway. And it's becoming a little bit scary That because, you know, I have kids, I have a family here, I have animals, and it's our private home. But because it's so beautiful and people see all these pictures and the videos, they want to come and they want to check it out. And I want to have a space where they can do that, but not here. So I'm hoping to have some sort of a retail shop where people can come and buy my flowers instead of coming to my home to do that. I know you, also had people coming to your house for a while to pick up the member bouquets. And we were thinking about putting a gate in because it's becoming a daily occurrence with people just stopping by. But, and I love that. I love that people are excited about the flowers, but it is our private home and it's hard to separate, you know, work and your life when it's like that. So I'd really love to have an outlet for that so that it takes it off the farm. I'd love to have more bouquet bars. I'd love to have more florists because that is, quite frankly, the fastest and easiest way to get rid of your flowers. When you have a bucket of them and you just go, here you go.
Yeah. And you know, it's so true. When you're first starting out, I remember how hungry I was and I was literally willing to do pretty much anything. And I think that because I live in the city, we are really under the gun of people just wanting to drop by. You know, they just don't get it. All those things that you just said, and they just don't understand. First off, you know, put aside that, you know, no, you can't come through my gate anytime because I have a dog that will run away and run all over town, you know, but it is your home and it is private and it's an insurance concern. But when you're first starting out and you only have 10 people, you know, coming to pick up bouquets each week, it doesn't seem like a really big deal. But because my city has such ordinances against, you know, that kind of stuff, I had to really make some really strict rules, which I was a little overzealous at making people follow them, which I think that I kind of held people at a distance, but it came around full circle because I exactly know what you're talking about. I mean, people just don't, it's like, okay, you're a nurse. If I just showed up at your job today, can you give me a tour of the hospital? You just drop everything. And, you know, I hate to feel that way, but people really don't get it, that we are a full working farm. And I know that that's what you are too. So that's really interesting. And I do agree with you wholeheartedly, selling to florists. And, you know, I'm a big believer in collectives. They are coming up everywhere. And I don't know if you have any collectives up your way or, oh my gosh, how, you know, that's basically a wholesaler that's just all local growers, whether it's a privately owned by somebody that only buys local. Collectives are the future of the domestic flowers. So it's exactly what you were talking about. It's like, you want to stay home and farm and grow great flowers and deliver them somewhere once a week and have them get sold, right? So I am there with you. I totally, understand all of that. So what are you really excited about right now? I mean, what's hot? I mean, I saw you got a new structure, right?
Yes. Actually, this is my first spring with a hoop house. We put that up in the fall really late. So I wasn't able to kind of amend anything in the fall because around here, I mean, there was snow on the ground already when we put it up. So I wasn't able to have access to fresh compost and stuff. So we amended it in March here, which March here is still, we still have feet of snow on the ground, but I was able to plant in it in mid-March. So this is my first time after 4 years to successfully grow ranunculus. And I've been harvesting buckets and it's a dream come true, literally 3 years of failure. And finally, the fourth year with this hoop house, it has allowed me to have the buckets of ranunculus that I've always dreamed of. And so have my CSA members. Yeah, I've been so excited. This weekend actually is the first big weekend where I can have the ranunculus be the star in the bouquet because they've had the tulips and stuff and they've had maybe one or two stems of ranunculus in the bouquets. But this weekend, it's going to be a full ranunculus bouquet. So excited about that. But let's see, what else? Well, I got a cooler. I built a cooler. That was essential. That would have been my biggest mistake if not for the employee. The cooler would have been my next biggest mistake, not having one, because I do grow thousands of tulips, thousands of lilies. And if I mean, they were blowing open and I couldn't sell them because I didn't have a way to maintain them and they were blowing open. So
Isn't that, the cooler? Isn't that painful? I remember.
Yep. It was bad. You harvest them, they're closed, they look perfect. And then you set them outside and all the lilies just open up. And I was like, okay, I guess we're having a bouquet bar tonight because the lilies need to go. But yeah, you figure out ways to make it work. But the cooler is, I mean, I just took out, someone just picked up a bouquet here 10 minutes before I got on here with you. And they were tulips that I harvested a month ago. So yeah. You can't beat that.
It just gives you options, you know, and, you know, talking about that, I know that you took my course and I would just loved having you be a part of that. But I think you're the one that actually maybe coined the phrase, got Dave in my back pocket.
I do. Yes. Because he's always in my back pocket for sure.
You know, is Dave's course, Bulbs, Perennials, Woodies, and More, Dave's course has become the trademark of how we're actually structuring the syllabuses of our other courses, because it's so easy to like refer back. And I would almost guess that now that you have a structure and you have a cooler, that you're like revisiting that course big time, because I can't imagine how you are could potentially scale your business now.
Yes, I think last Friday, my helper was over and I had bare root baptisia to plant. And I was like, all right, let me see what Dave says. And I pulled out my phone. I went to his course. I went to baptisia and I listened to the course while we were planting it, just so I could, refresher memory and stuff like that. And the same thing with the hoop house, you know, he has a lot of information in those courses about growing in the hoop houses and growing ranunculus and all of the bulbs, all the perennials and stuff like that. I'm referring back to it all the time. And not to mention that, but also, you know, the Facebook group is super helpful because people have questions in there. And now a lot of times I have the same question. I just didn't realize I had the same question.
Right.
And Dave's just, you know, he really is just
a walking
encyclopedia. Know. Yes, he is. And
it's true. Question,
he just knows everything. And if he doesn't know it, he'll get the answer to you from someone else who does. That's it.
You know, it is so true. I tell him every time that we just did it recently, a podcast on Lysianthus and a podcast on snapdragons. I said, Dave, I have like so learned a major learning curve here talking to you about this. So Dave's depth of knowledge is phenomenal, but because of his servant heart, I mean, he is a teacher at heart and he is so willing to just share it all with people. And I think that one of the most underused and underrealized benefit of all of our courses, but particularly Dave's course, as you scale your business, it's the going back. Because, you know, when you took his course, chances are good you didn't have a cooler or that hoop house. So you may not have paid attention to those things that are related to that. But the revisiting, to me, seems the most valuable, priceless part of Dave Dowling and his course.
Yes. And the way you said, the way that it's broken down into the categories so that you can go back specifically, if you're planting something, you can find exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And boom, Dave's telling you what he knows.
It's true. And, you know, so we just went back, we had my syllabus time spent stamped, trying to follow like that with Dave's. Literally, somebody said to us, Dave's course is like an encyclopedia. She thought it was a little dry. Because it was that way. And it's like, that is exactly the best point of it, because it's not a movie. It is to go find the information about what you need, just endless bulbs, perennials, and woody information. I just think that people they undervalue that. So what, tell us a little bit. I know that you got your hands in a lot of different things these days. Tell people how they can find you, what you're up to these days. I know that you have a YouTube channel. You're pretty active on social media. And kind of tell us how that all developed. How'd you do that YouTube thing? Because I'm not sure. Think everybody knows what your previous life was.
I have a degree in broadcast journalism, and that's where my life started. I went to college for television news, and that's what I was for, I don't even want to know how many years, let's see, probably 12 years. I'm a journalist, so I was telling stories, not my story, everybody else's story. So I was a local news reporter and an anchor, and I always was a writer. I think I won my first writing competition in second grade. You know, just awesome. A writer, and I love telling stories. It was just something that developed where I learned how to use a camera through my job. I learned how to be in front of the camera through my job, just from years of doing it. And then, you know, family things. I honestly, the whole news industry, I wasn't okay with it anymore. I didn't want to cover all of those horrible news stories, the way of the world. I was more of a community storyteller. So yeah. I ended up leaving the actual television news business, and I started working and doing videos and storytelling for local school districts instead. That was more my pace, with no murders and stuff like that. It was all like the good stories. So I ended up doing that. And then I decided, once I started to take on this flower farm, I started doing some research and starting searching on YouTube, and I didn't really find anything. I didn't really find any much content. I do, like, Florette does have some videos, but she's not active on YouTube. There weren't any other flower farm videos that I could find out there. And I was like, you know what? Nobody's doing this. I might as well share what I'm doing and just show people. And honestly, my main purpose for that, I started out so that I thought it would be cool if my customers could watch the flowers from seed to the vase, really. And that's how I started out doing it, just by sharing my story, because that's all I know how to do. That's just what I've been trained to do, is to tell stories. And it just started to snowball. And it's very overwhelming to me still, that there's that much of an interest in people watching me embarrass myself occasionally and just be goofy and just show people what I'm doing. And it's just really become something that I am so, I don't know. I guess it's a little bit of an addiction to the community. The community is just awesome. So I can't get out of it. It's wonderful. People, especially even on Instagram, there's just such a large community of people who love flowers and love to grow flowers, that connection, it's addictive. And you just want to share what you know, share what you don't know, share the mistakes you're making, share what you're learning. And that's just what I've been doing for a couple of years now. I think it's like 2.5 years and that, maybe, I don't remember. Like you said, the pandemic kind of makes time really weird. It was before the pandemic that I started making YouTube videos, but I think it was during the pandemic that I started to make a lot of videos. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. And I'm a little bit active on Instagram. I'm trying to do more there, but there's only so much you can do with one person. I'm trying to do everything, but yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. So what is the name of your YouTube channel? We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's the name. It's the same as my farm. It's just Flower Hill Farm. And I am legally on Flower Hill Farm NY, because there are a couple of other Flower Hill Farms. One in California, one in Texas, they're all over the place. And that's one of Lisa's rules that I broke. I remember you saying in your course, do some research and make your name unique. Yeah. I didn't expect to. Yeah.
The New York makes yours unique. So
there you go.
I mean, who would have ever dreamed when I named The Gardener's Workshop how many letters that is? I mean, it's ridiculous to type that stuff in. So, I mean, we all make issues.
But also though, Lisa, I feel like your name was foreshadowing what you ended up doing.
Yeah.
Though. You know, The Gardener's Workshop. I mean, it really encompasses everything that you're doing now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, we have just become such an education sharing, platform, that it's really what our mission is now, is just to help people wherever they are, whatever, home gardener, budding flower farmer, somebody that wants to scale, just to offer those things. So, Nicole, what would you say to anybody that might be considering, whether it be my course or Dave's course or just a course, how beneficial that investment can be when you actually utilize it.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was saying to you, my first year, I had a tiny plot of this and a tiny plot of that. And I guess I just didn't realize how flowers should and can be farmed. And that was what your course did for me, was change my entire idea of what a flower farm should look like. And then with Dave's course, it is exactly that. It's an encyclopedia of all of the things that you should and could be growing for your farm. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like Dave should be like a professor. He knows everything. You feel like you're attending a lecture and you're just absorbing all the information. But the best part about it, it's a lecture that you can revisit again and again and again, and until it's ingrained in your brain as right. much as it is in Dave's. Never happened, because he is a never ending brain. So yeah, it's just been really a Dave in my back pocket. It's what I walk around my farm with, and everything that he talks about. That's also an issue with Dave's course, is you're going to want to grow everything that he talks about. Yep. Because they're so good. And so it's what I've been doing. And Dave tells you, don't do it all at once, but a little bit at a time. I'm trying to incorporate everything that Dave teaches you in that course. And I'm very excited, because with those perennials, you always have a backbone to your farm. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, is the perennials that I've put in. I've got 600 peonies. I have 200 limelight hydrangeas, 180, I think, and then some other kinds. And then I did the lavender and the BAP and the berries that Dave talks about, you know, all of the things. So I know I always have a reference to go back to when I'm looking at those plants and talking about when to harvest and, you know, vase life and all that stuff.
Yeah, it really does. You know, one of the greatest things that I learned from Dave years ago was that by growing more different things, you sell more to the same customers. It's always the most economical choice to sell more to the people you already have. It's not that you're not looking for new customers, but if you sell a ton of one thing, you have to have a whole bunch of customers. Why not sell, you know, peonies and all the perennials and the woodies. I mean, once you are their supplier, it just gets easier and easier.
Yeah.
So Nicole, you've really, it's been really a pleasure talking to you today. I'm really excited for you and what the future holds. And I think there's nothing but opportunity knocking on your door.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's very, very exciting and overwhelming, and employees in the future. Yay.
So yeah, you know, I think that once you get it under your belt for a year, I mean, I still have that problem. I have 14 employees now.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. It's a lot.
But so I understand, it's just bigger, you know, and it never goes away. So that's the way it is. And I just think that you're doing such a great job, and you're just inspiring so many. And we just love that you've been a part of us also, and that you're just out there doing it for so many other people. Is there anything that you want to add before we break off here?
Oh, I don't know. I think that there are so many people who want to grow and are afraid to do so. And I just want to encourage people to give it a go, because I think that they don't realize that they could be inspiring somebody else too. I hear it all the time about how just some people will watch what I'm doing and just say, you know, it's inspiring to watch someone else do that. You could be the person that inspires somebody else as well. So
It's really, really true.
Great community. Yeah. Like when I said, it's like flowers, growing them, harvesting them, everything. I don't know why it's like chocolate. There really is an addiction to it. It's like, I'm drawn to it, and I just want to keep doing it and do it again and again. I mean, we're the definition of insanity, right? We're doing the same thing over and over again.
Hey, you're looking at the girl that does no longer sells flowers. I can't stop.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait.
We just have other uses for them now, but it's, I mean, I'm just so happy for you that you all have found each other, Flower Farming and Nicole, and then you're spreading inspiration. And the links to Nicole, her social media, and to her YouTube channel. And so, friends, I just thank you so much, Nicole. We're so proud of you, what you're doing.
Thank you. And absolutely a pleasure. Anytime, Lisa.
All right. Thank you so much. Ciao, everybody.